Foreclosure activity is at a six-year low.
April's foreclosure filings are down by 5% from March and down 23% from April of last year. But on the other hand,
we're seeing a 30-month high in actual scheduled foreclosure auctions.
Realty Tracks' Darren Bloomquist says that's because foreclosures that had been delayed in states with newer consumer protection laws are finally going through.
That will be something that the market actually welcomes because of the lack of inventory we're seeing across the country.
As Bloomquist puts it, the pig is moving through the python. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
The Heat get even in the NBA playoffs.
It's all LeBron. Spin it. And score!
Miami beat Chicago by 37 in Game 2 on TNT. The Warriors also tied the Spurs in a 191 Game 2 win in San Antonio. In hockey's playoffs, the Ducks, Bruins, Kings, and Rangers all won. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Allie's Village Memory Care Homes is customized care for those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. At Allie's Village, the focus is your family, with personalized care through the eyes of those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. Allie's Village is designed to provide individual and companion living arrangements, with individualized care for the one living with Alzheimer's. Each room is decorated as the patient's own residence, decreasing the anxiety of living with Alzheimer's. At Allie's Village Memory Care Homes, the focus is on your family. Allie's Village Homes.
Let the local experts make your garden grow this year at Howard Pines Garden Center in North Lawrence. Everything grown right here from seed, not shipped in on a truck. See what's popping up today at howardpinesgardencenter.com.
The annual Douglas County Bank Shred Day is May 18th from 9 a.m. until noon at our downtown branch at 9th and Kentucky. Bring your old documents to shred with Jayhawk File Express. Protect your identity and get rid of those old papers you no longer need for free. We'll also be offering electronics recycling with Asset Lifecycle. Recycle almost anything with a power cord for free. A small fee will apply for monitors or televisions. Drop off your items May 18th from 9 a.m. until noon. Douglas County Bank, investing in our community one customer at a time. Member FDIC.
Laird Noller Automotive's 35th anniversary sale is happening in May at both Lawrence locations. Great deals just got even better at Laird Noller Mazda with partner plan pricing. Enjoy special buying privileges in May where you can buy like a partner employee, like a 2012 Mazda sedan Grand Touring for $3,000 off MSRP after dealer discounts. Come see why your friends and neighbors are buying from Laird Noller Automotive, home of the best price guarantee, at 23rd in Alabama and on South Iowa Street in Lawrence.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Will Katz from the KU Small Development Office, and each week we have interesting people on here to follow up and explore on some of the articles we've had in the Lawrence Business Magazine. So.
That qualifies me as interesting. Cool.
That definitely qualifies you as interesting. And what you do up there at the development office, I think, is just quite remarkable and such a great value to our community. But I want to talk a little bit about you first. I want to talk a little bit about your history and how you came to be in Lawrence or L.A.
Right.
Lawrence area. And then how you got to be part of the KU Development Office.
Okay.
So how did you get to be in Lawrence? What's your history with Lawrence?
I think probably like quite a few other people, I moved here to attend the University of Kansas. I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I moved up here right after I graduated high school just to start school.
Mm-hmm.
Figured I'd be here, you know, 4, maybe 5 years. Of course, my 4-year scholastic program turned into about 7.5 years worth of a degree-seeking program. And then... you know, by that time I was hooked. There was no way I was leaving Lawrence.
So what was your degree? What was your scholastic 7.5 years endeavor?
Well, don't tell anybody, but actually I double majored in philosophy and Russian language. And
wow.
I'm not sure that would be the most valuable degree for a small business development center director to have. Fortunately, I did go back to KU and I got an MBA
as well,
a master's degree in business administration. And that probably qualifies me.
That makes you very well-rounded.
I'd like to think so. I tell my parents that all the time.
That's right. Well, I think. I'm a strong believer in a liberal arts education. That was my father always told us. You know, get a good education, and things will follow.
I agree.
That you know, because if you don't, one of the beliefs is if you don't understand where and how you got to what the place is, you know, then you kind of you miss out on a lot.
I think there is a lot of context that comes with having a rounded education, definitely.
So you had your, so you got your degrees, mm-hmm. and found out you couldn't get a job. So
you went back. You know, interestingly, my story is kind of the opposite. I worked for a company called E&E Display Group here in Lawrence for 17 years. I started in 1987, I believe. Okay. And so I worked at night in the factory and kind of put myself through college doing that.
Oh, cool.
So I had a job. It just so happened that even when I had other job offers after graduation, that was still the best job. So I ended up sticking with it for quite a while.
So you did that. So when did you go back and get your MBA? Did you do that right? You didn't do that right away, I take it.
Not right away. Mm-hmm. I've waited about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Kind of went back for a high school reunion and got a little bit motivated to, I saw some of my classmates were super achievers, and I thought, well, gosh, what's the next step for me? I got to do something. So okay. I went back and got the MBA after that.
That's cool. So when you got your MBA, did you have so how did you go from getting your MBA into the small development business office? Was that kind of your plan, or you just kind of like, well, I'm going to get my MBA and see where that leads?
It was just, I want to see where that leads, right. Absolutely. And at the time, I was still working for E&E Display Group mm-hmm. for quite a few more years after that, and I really enjoyed it. And gosh, I think if that business were still here, I would still be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at least that did open up some avenues after the business closed. I went and worked for the Target Corporation for a couple of years. I worked in supply chain, distribution, and logistics. And in fact, I was working some crazy hours for Target, and I saw an article in the newspaper about the Small Business Development Center. They had interviewed then-director Kurt Klinkenbeard, and Kurt talked about some of the things that the center was doing with small businesses, and they asked, what are your biggest roadblocks? And he said, resources. We just don't have enough people. We don't have enough of a budget to do all the things that we'd really like to do. So about a week later, I walked into the office with a resume, and I actually asked if I could volunteer. I was working a lot of weekend and overnight hours for Target, and I had a chunk of time basically from Wednesday through Friday in the afternoons that was my weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to I volunteered to spend that time working with local small businesses, and that was when the bug absolutely bit me.
Oh, how interesting! So you started working with small businesses, and so that's kind of your history. So that's how you kind of got there. Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been with the Small Business Development Office?
I've been the director now for almost 7 years. June 1st will be 7 years, and I volunteered for about a year and a half before that.
Very cool. So this 7 years, well, there's been a lot of changes in the last 7 years.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get into that kind of that history then about the development center. So, having read the article, which is in the current edition of the Lawrence Business Magazine out there, one of the things that the business development office, I understand they have these around the country, and usually they're around mm-hmm. a lot of times with universities
mm-hmm.
have these sort of things, these resources. So mm-hmm. What is the history of the KU Small Development? Do you know when it started? He's like made a face, so probably not.
I'm not sure. Uh-huh. I think the SBDC program in Kansas began in 1983.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that KU was part of the original program, but I'm not 100% sure about mm-hmm. that. I think that there's been a center at the university since the early 1990s, though.
Okay. And one of the... So what is the... mission of the KU Small Development. It's a KU Small Business Development Office.
You got it. KU Small Business Development Center.
Center.
And we're part of the Kansas Small Business Development Centers, which are part of America's SBDC, basically.
Okay.
So we have national partners. We have a very strong state organization. And then we are, of course, KU's representative into that game.
And you are actually located in the chamber offices, right?
That's correct.
So you're kind of more trying to be more part of related to the business community as opposed to the university.
Sure.
But you kind of cross both.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And just the nature of what we do, I think it makes a lot of sense for us to be with the chamber and geographically in with the business community.
Now what is the mission? So let's go back to what is the mission and the goals of the Small Development
Well, it's actually very simple. We help people start and grow small businesses.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
So, but you do this. So let's say in doing this, there's I'm sure there's a lot of different avenues and things that people come to you. I actually have, it's interesting, two of my friends are actually, one of them is actually moving forward with a business and one of them is talking about it. So if they came into you and just said, say, I want to start a business, but I don't know what to do. I just have this great idea. I've always wanted to do it. What do you say to them?
Well, there are a couple ways that we could go about that interaction. For somebody who's really, really new to it and just in the very early thinking and planning stages, I would probably encourage them to come to one of our seminars.
Okay.
It's called Exploring Entrepreneurship. We do them usually a couple times a month on Tuesday evenings, 6 to 8. And I think it's a presentation that's been under development for many years, and it covers a lot of the different aspects of small business startup and ownership. And I think it's a good introduction to the center as well. I think if somebody comes to the seminar, they're going to get a reasonably good idea of what it might be like to work with the center. If somebody's a little bit farther along, then really what we do is we meet with them individually. There's a lot of power in one-to-one meetings, and statistics show over and over again that one of the key determinants to small business success is just, do you have somebody that you can talk to? Do you have somebody of whom you can ask advice? For many people, it's a friend or a relative or a family friend or a business mentor, somebody maybe that they've known professionally. But you know what? Some people just don't have that person, or they don't have somebody that they can connect with easily. And so I think we serve as a pretty good, I guess, substitute for that. And so what we provide is one-to-one, I guess you'd call it generalist consulting. And what that means is that I can't give anybody legal advice. I've never passed a bar exam. I've never failed a bar exam. I want to make that perfectly clear. I do not have a CPA license. I'm not a certified public accountant. So I'm not allowed to tell you exactly what you can or can't deduct on your taxes, but we do offer a lot of strategic planning advice, you know, from going through a first step feasibility analysis, writing a business plan, putting together cash flow projections, developing a marketing budget and a marketing plan. With existing businesses, we work with them on things like, you know, access to capital, HR issues, cash flow management, accounts receivable, accounts payable types of things. Pretty wide variety of skills, I think, that we have.
That's a lot of different things, avenues to cross. I mean, there's a lot of different problems in those areas and getting help. Now, when you're doing these things, when somebody comes in and says, working with the different companies, because you actually had Frank Dorsey from Frank's Tavern.
He said
that, you know, you really kind of helped him start, you know, really got him in with this business. And when we're talking about the things that you've helped, he says basically they helped on every level of success, kind of helped guide him through the process.
That's the goal.
So when you do that, I mean, how does your guys, when somebody comes in, do they, do you just talk to them, or do they fill out, like, do you have them fill out some paperwork so you kind of get an understanding of where they are? And because that's a lot of information and people you're working with. I mean, how do you work your time? Because that sounds like that's a lot of work.
Kind of all of the above. We do have just a little bit of intake paperwork. Generally, it might only take about 5 or 10 minutes. We do have some pretty specific assessment tools that have been developed by other SBDCs throughout the KSBDC and the ASBDC. And at times we use those types of assessment tools. Some of it is just myself and my colleague, Brian Dennis, have a little bit of experience. I mean, I'd like to think that we know what questions to ask. As we discussed just before we went on the air, or I guess while we were on the air, I have a philosophy major, and so I'm a big fan of the Socratic method.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your Socratic method when we come back, and how you kind of, and how your staffing and how you guys work as a team up there.
Okay.
This is the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low, 56. We're mostly cloudy. Chance of showers. Afternoon thunder possible, 73. Chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, a low of 54. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of early showers, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, high of 68. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Mother's Day is fast approaching. Give the gift that keeps giving year after year. A quality, locally grown tree from the Lawrence Landscape Tree Farm off the South Lawrence Traffic Way. All flowering trees, 20% off. Learn more at lawrencelandscape.com.
Brown Shoe Fit in beautiful downtown Lawrence has the hottest styles in stock from all the hottest brands like Teva, Chaco, Clark, Olakai, Nayot, Mephisto, Merrill, Keen, Ortho Heel, and more. If you come in now, you will see more styles. More brands than ever before, and all the latest and greatest styles in stock. No one has the shoes you want like Brown Shoe Fit in downtown Lawrence. Come in today and walk out with your head held high and your feet wearing a smile. All from Brown Shoe Fit in beautiful downtown Lawrence.
For over 100 years, Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services has been here to serve and care for the families of Lawrence, Eudora, and Johnson County during the greatest time of grief. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services understands the difficult decisions that are facing you, and their mission is to fulfill the needs in a responsive, compassionate manner today and tomorrow. Visit warrenmcelwain.com to see a full description of services offered, planned prearrangements, obituaries, guest books, and veteran services. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services.
I've had almost a phobic fear of the dentist since childhood. And when I was a child, I was tougher about it. Once I became an adult, it's like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. Up until seeing Dr. Moriarty, I have not had a positive dental experience to the point I would pull in to the parking lot for an appointment, get out of my car, turn around and get back in and leave without ever walking in the building.
End your fears and anxieties and get the results you want with Dr. Moriarty at Enhanced Dental Care of Lawrence.
My visit with Dr. Moriarty, they have always been very good. There was no pain, no anxiety, no fear. His office staff is very caring also. They're very gentle when working with your mouth.
Enjoy the best that 21st century dentistry has to offer. Relax with sedation dentistry at Enhanced Dental Care of Lawrence. Safe, effective, and comfortable.
I'm so glad they've come up with sedation dentistry. They should have done this years ago. I mean, I drive from Topeka to here for a dentist. I'd recommend him to any other cowards like me out there. They do cater to the cowards.
Dale Willie Chevrolet wants to show you how easy it is to drive the car you deserve for less than the cost of an extra value meal. Drive away in a brand new 2013 Chevy Cruze for only $5.94 per day and get up to 40 mpg. Supersize your savings and drive away in the 2013 Chevy Malibu for only $7.47 per day. Come in today and Dale Willie will buy you lunch just for the chance to show you how you can drive home a vehicle you love at a price that'll make you smile.
See dealer for details.
Visiting Nurses offers support and care when it's needed most. For over 40 years, Visiting Nurses has become a part of people's lives by providing nursing, rehab, private duty, or hospice care to families in Douglas County and surrounding areas. The families Visiting Nurses work with can take comfort in knowing their loved ones are receiving the highest level of care, leaving them free to enjoy the memories they are making.
Visiting Nurses in Lawrence, call 843-3738. In Topeka, call 234-2700.
Is this you? Do you have a successful track record in sales? Do you get a kick out of helping your customers? Do you seem to have a talent for getting others to see your way of thinking? Are you someone who likes to make things happen? Does dealing with important business owners and business managers just seem like a natural for you? If this sounds just like you, then you should call us at Great Plains Media to inquire about a position on our successful sales team. Just call 785-843-1320. That's 785-843-1320. Great Plains Media is an equal opportunity employer.
The News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Continuing with the Lawrence Business Magazine show once again, and Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Will Katz from the KU Small Business Development Center, up at which is located in our chamber offices. And before we break, we were kind of talking about Will's philosophy and how he gets, you know, his questions, his philosophy degree helping him in his small business development. And what I want to do now is talk a little bit about how your office runs, because you guys help other businesses, but mm-hmm. your office itself is a business.
Sure.
So how do you guys work financially? I know you're part of the university. How do you guys work financially? How many people do you have there, and how do you guys work?
Well, we're a pretty lean and mean office. Basically, there are just two.
I heard you were nice.
Okay, we're lean and nice. You're right. There are just two full-time consultants, myself and a gentleman named Brian Dennis. He's been with us since January, and he has a vast wealth of resources and knowledge. He ran a district of coffee shops in New Orleans, and actually he's a Katrina survivor.
Wow.
And, of course, we do work with a lot of restaurant and retail-type businesses, and Brian is just outstanding. A special talent, I think, when it comes to that kind of thing.
Oh, that's great.
And then, of course, there's me, and I get whatever's left over. We also have a part-time student. We'll be working with an MBA intern this summer.
Do you have work with the business school in that respect with interns and stuff?
And the way that it works financially, it's funded a lot like scientific research is funded, actually. Oh. So we have a federal partner, the SBA, the Small Business Administration. We have a state partner, the Kansas Department of Commerce. And then we have to have local match for those dollars. And so we receive economic development funds from the city and the county that flow through the chamber. We receive some funding from the provost's office at the University of Kansas. And then, of course, the School of Business is our big campus partner. And so we report in the School of Business to the Center for Public Administration. Or what's it? Applied Economics is what we
That's
report
what it's called.
Yes.
Okay. So you report to them. So you have so your funding. So you don't have to. So you do not get monetary when people come in. They don't pay you.
I'm so glad you asked, and that is correct. Yes, the vast majority of services that we provide are free. Occasionally, we provide some specialized seminar content and some training. Mm-hmm. And if we have to pay for it, generally that means we have to pass that cost along.
Okay.
But the bulk of our of what we provide is always free.
So you are a nonprofit center. I mean, you're a nonprofit. Are you a nonprofit organization then?
I think you would just classify as a research university research
center.
So
you're part of the education. Mm-hmm. So you're part of the university. So that makes you.
My paycheck says University of Kansas on it.
That would be the KU part of the title.
That's right. You got it.
So small businesses. One of the things in the last issue, and one of the reasons we had talked to you in this issue, is because we were talking about community banking was our kind of was the headline.
Mm-hmm.
But then why, and the community banks investing locally, investing in small in our local businesses, and then you working with those small businesses to develop. So let's talk about the value, why it's important. Why is it important to have a small business development center? Why is that important?
Well, I think that, again, the research shows that SBDCs and other organizations that use that consulting model tend to help people start businesses that they wouldn't have otherwise started. And so the question about why are SBDCs important, I think really speaks to the question of why are small businesses important. And they're important for a variety of reasons, probably not the least of which is job creation. I mean, when you talk about economic development, one of the critical factors of that is creating jobs. I mean, we had a pretty significant economic shock and recession 5 years ago, and I think in a lot of ways we're still digging out of the back end of that, and the only way to do that is through job creation. The SBA tells us that statistically about 80% of all new jobs created in our economy come from small business. And that might even be a conservative estimate. In fact, there was a public administration group at KU that did a survey that said that from 1992 through 2007, literally every single net new job created in this country came from small business.
Wow, that's a lot. So when you're talking small businesses, when a businesses start out, are they usually as the quote mom and pop places? I mean, are those usually the kind of area you're helping out, or are they, with one or two people, or are they people really trying to start out with like four and five people?
You know, again, that's another really interesting question. Believe it or not, a full 77% of all businesses in Kansas have five or fewer employees, and so I think a lot of times when people think about small business, what they're really picturing is something frequently that's actually a little bit larger than most small businesses are. It's easy to see some of the success stories locally. For example, Barry Plastics, I mean, I think they've done a fabulous job of developing, growing, you know, mm-hmm. adding jobs. And you might call them a small business, and technically they might be, but they're a pretty big small business. Something mm-hmm. like 95% of all businesses in this country do less than $500,000 in revenues every year, if you can believe that. So there are a lot of really, truly small businesses out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we catch them initially when they're that small, and one of the goals is to help them grow.
Mm-hmm. And make sure that they can sustain that, because a lot of mm-hmm. people want just a small business. They
sure.
don't. They, I mean, you know, everybody, I guess, there's certain people have like fantasies of having this huge conglomerate, but mm-hmm. a lot of people are, I believe, when they have their businesses, they just want to kind of be in control of their own destiny and have mm-hmm. their, you know, be their own boss, but then be able to provide for their families.
Absolutely. And rest assured, we would never impose goals on a business that they didn't share.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have plenty of people that tell us that they don't want to be that conglomerate business, mm-hmm. and so we certainly don't push them in that direction.
Well, it comes a lot of responsibility if you get the bigger,
oh, yeah.
because all of a sudden when you have employees, you're sure. responsible for it. Changes your mindset, I believe.
I think it definitely makes one more of a steward.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, we work with a lot of smaller businesses, and we do work also with a lot of existing businesses. People come to us and say, gosh, here's the situation in our current business. What can you help with? Can you help us achieve this goal? Can you help mm-hmm. us achieve that goal?
Make become a more successful business, even as a mama. How are you working
sure.
your resources and mm-hmm. that sort of thing? Now when you were talking about, you said Brian is your
mm-hmm.
Brian. Now he works with a lot of, you said, with restaurants and mm-hmm. things like that, which is a whole. It is a kind of a separate business, because that you're talking with about a lot of employees, but generally it's a lot of part-time employees, and you have
sure.
a lot of different issues. What are some, since he's not here, you can, you know, guess what he would say, but what are some issues that a restaurant, that kind of a business has that's unique to that, you know, in developing that sort of business as opposed to starting a store where you're, or a, you know, consulting firm or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I want to talk a little bit about what we call the three M's, the
okay.
three critical success factors.
All right.
And really for every business, you've got to have these three. Well, if these three critical success factors line up pretty
mm-hmm.
well, you have a great chance of success. If not, at least it helps you understand where to focus your efforts.
Okay.
And those three critical success factors, the three M's, are management, market, and money. Basically,
okay.
can you run your business or put together a team that can? Are there people who will buy your product or service, and will they pay a price that allows you to maintain profitable operations? And then do you have the money to get started? And I would say, honestly, for a lot of the restaurant businesses that we've worked with over the years, that third critical success factor of money,
mm-hmm.
it surprises people how expensive it is to get into that business. And it's not like you can just, you know, walk into a bank and ask for a $200,000 loan with no collateral and no cash. So
right.
people find out pretty quickly that it's more difficult to get started in that industry than they thought.
And a lot of people, I think, have some friends that work in the restaurant industry don't realize just how hard that business is.
Oh, sure. And that would maybe be referring to that first M of
management.
And everybody thinks they're Sam Malone of Cheers, right? I just want to go where somebody knows my name, and anybody could run a bar or restaurant. And of course, nothing could be farther from the truth. I mean, it's actually a very demanding business, I think.
So when somebody comes in, is that one of the things too? Is just trying to find out how much people really getting them to realize how much they know or don't know about what the business they're trying to start.
Absolutely, sure.
So when you're doing that, when you're talking about those three M's. And you're talking about something that when we just went through this last recession and how it affected like a lot of small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lawrence was a little bit better off than a lot of the other things, but we obviously still got hit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, as a small, when you're talking to small businesses, what kind of problems what were people coming in with at, you know, 5 years ago? And now what kind of advice are they, has it changed? How are people?
It has changed, actually. I think that we're seeing a lot more technician entrepreneur type of businesses
okay.
or service entrepreneur type of businesses. We've been working, for example, with a woman who was a pretty high-level HR executive at Sony, and I think she knew a lot about HR policies and procedures, and it was very difficult to find a job in that field, I think, from 2009 until now. And so she started a business. She started an HR consultancy. And we're seeing actually an awful lot of that in the last 5 years, where before the shock and recession, people worked and developed job skills and really only thought about applying those skills within the employment market. Okay. And now I think people are looking to branch out outside of that and apply those skills to the actual small business marketplace.
Well, I find it interesting, too, as consulting then, too, putting a having worked in a corporation like a Sony, and I worked for Universal Pictures for five years, so you're working in a corporation which has its own guidelines, and you're dealing with a big corporation, and then going out and being a consultant on the outside and setting those value things, and getting, because everybody always wants free advice.
Sure.
So how do you get a consultant, how does somebody like that, when you're talking with them, developing your as a consultant, making sure that they are getting paid, their, you know, getting money.
Yeah, well, that's a difficult one, and it's especially a difficult one for me, right? Because I provide consulting services as well, and we do it free of charge. And the one thing that we try to do, right?
So
exactly. So the one thing that we try to do is make sure that we establish some kind of a baseline value for those services by making sure that our financial partners understand what the value is by understanding what the economic return on investment is of the service that we provide. And so basically that's the same advice that I would give somebody else in a consulting field. You have to understand the value of what you do to the people that you're providing that value to, and you have to charge accordingly.
Then that's always the challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge.
It is, because everybody, you know, because people, want to work. So where are they? Now, speaking of wanting to work, when people are expanding their business and they want to have, and not hiring people, what kind of, and you're talking about this, your HR person, when you're growing a business and trying to add people to your business, you want to grow it, you say you want to expand. So is expanding a business, how is that different from just starting a business?
Well, hopefully when you're expanding a business, you're dealing with systems that are already in place. You don't have to create new systems. You're just enhancing some of those systems. Typically, I would suggest that it's probably easier to go from 25 to 35 employees than it is to go from 0 to 10. And in fact, part of the strategic mission of our state network, the KSBDC, is to get the small business development centers in Kansas to work with existing businesses as much as startups. I think that we have a reputation as, hey, we're the startup people. Anytime you want to start a business, you go there. And of course, we're always happy to work with startups. But I think in order to achieve our mission and help the state be prosperous, it's probably a good investment for us to spend some time working with existing businesses, just because the things that we do probably tend to have more economic impact.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about some specific things that you've done with some of those businesses.
Okay.
When we come back after this break.
This is the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Let the local experts make your garden grow this year at Howard Pines Garden Center in North Lawrence. Everything grown right here from seed, not shipped in on a truck. See what's popping up today at howardpinesgardencenter.com.
Hello, it's Adam Ritchie with LED Source in Lawrence. As a business owner like you, I appreciate the importance of reducing costs. LED lighting technology now gives you the opportunity to reduce operating and maintenance costs associated with your lighting. Let me show you the impact that switching to LED lighting can have on your bottom line. For instance, LED lighting can cost up to 85% less to operate than incandescent lights. Call me at 856-9-LED. Your future is very bright at LED Source. LEDSourceLawrence.com.
Heritage Tractor. Legendary products, extraordinary service. That's our heritage. Find the location nearest you at HeritageTractor.com.
The sound of
summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of watercraft batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way. This sound of summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of motorcycle batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way.
With 50 floor plans to choose from, it's time you came home to Meadowbrook Apartments. From studios to three-bedroom luxury apartments, Meadowbrook has a home to fit your needs and budget. Not to mention the pools, fitness center, and so much more. Meadowbrook sits on 42 acres in the heart of Lawrence, so there's plenty of space to enjoy and always a great view. Plus, on-site management and maintenance. Create your memories here.
Meadowbrook Apartments at meadowbrookapartments.net.
Pizza Shuttle always has the best deals on hot and fresh tasty pizza in Lawrence. When you need to satisfy your hunger with the classic taste and affordability of Pizza Shuttle, call now and get a threefer. Three one-topping pizzas and three drinks for only $14.75. Or a twofer. Two two-topping pizzas and two drinks for only $11.25. Or the Big Fur, which is two 14-inch pizzas hot and fresh and tasty for only $13.50.
Call 842-1212. Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here's Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Will Katz from the KU Small Business Development Center. And I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of the Lawrence Business Magazine in front of the Eldridge downtown and some of our new outdoor boxes. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, where you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook, where you can also find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in an effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So one of the, and right now, the current magazine that is out there has our a couple of our local bankers, Ted Haggard and Les Strawling from Lawrence Bank, and Ted from Douglas County Bank, two of our very local bankers here, and we're lucky, we have a lot of bankers in town here.
I think we have a great banking community. we're very lucky.
And one of the things we had is we had J.J., Beautiful Music. Like I was saying, he was in here a couple of weeks ago talking about that. And when we were talking about his business, he brought up both Will, who Katz, our guest here today, and his help, as well as Tim Metz, who works at Douglas County Bank. He said that those were two of the people that really helped him get his business going. So we can talk a bit without, you know, breaking any, you know, song, but let's talk a little bit. So let's just say, JJ comes in and asks for help, but what do you do to help him get his business going and growing?
Well, there could be a lot of things, and I refer you back to those three critical success factors of management, market, and money. And I think most of the important things a business owner could do would fall into one of those areas. For example, frequently somebody starts a business and they're trying to conserve cash and they don't want to go any farther into debt than they absolutely have to. And so they might kind of bootstrap that business. And maybe that business doesn't contain their full vision. It's just a scaled back piece of it. Maybe they're in business for a year or two and they discover, gosh, if I had more money to buy more inventory or more money to create more space for my business, then I'd be able to increase sales and increase my profitability. And so that a lot of times comes back to going back through a business plan, doing some new financial projections, making a case to a banker that says, hey, you know what? We could use another $250,000. We'll be able to pay you back, and this proves it.
So it's kind of after people kind of have their businesses going, they start to say this kind of, they have a little bit more perspective on where their business can go and how it can grow. And so that's something coming back and, you know, just because you have a plan doesn't mean you can't change your plan.
Exactly. And a lot of people even had that plan going in. It's just that they maybe got cold feet about taking on all of that debt at the same time.
It's scary.
It is. It's very scary. And I think a lot of people don't realize how expensive it can be to start a small business. Of course, not every business has extensive upfront capital costs, but it's not uncommon either.
Mm-hmm. Now, when that's something, too, that I want to know how things have changed, because I would assume that, and this is just, you know, like in 2008 and 2009, people were really unwilling to spend capital. They were when you talk about bootstraps.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time.
So how are things changing on how people are looking at the businesses and how they're coming? Are you a lot busier now too because people are wanting to grow or expand? Or
I wouldn't say we're necessarily busier, but we're busier with different types of projects. I think in 2009, a lot of what we saw were service startups and technician entrepreneurs, you know, tree trimmers, house cleaners, people who didn't probably necessarily need an awful lot of startup capital. And now I think as capital markets have loosened up a little bit, we're starting to see more larger initial investments in small businesses. And I think one of the interesting things about that is that it really takes money to create jobs. And I know that that's a strange sounding link to make, but if small business people don't have access to capital and they can't borrow money for new factories, new equipment, new restaurants, whatever it is, it's really hard for people to start businesses that create jobs.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So this capital that you're getting, obviously, now, you were also saying, like, you work a lot with people locally, but then one of your services, you branch out. You actually work with people outside of our area, too, to help them, to help the bigger Kansas area. What else? Where do you go?
We actually have a 6-county service area. So in addition to being in Douglas County, we're in Franklin County, Leavenworth County, Jefferson, Atchison, and Doniphan counties.
Okay. So that's the KU Small Business Development Center. It has a... Now, are there different offices there, or are you guys just going out to those different areas and covering them?
We travel to those areas.
Wow.
Brian goes to Ottawa on Wednesdays. I go to Leavenworth on Thursdays. In fact, I'll be leaving after our conversation today.
Okay. So you go up there, and you have people that have made appointments, and you're checking out, going and visiting different people?
Exactly.
So do you do that a lot? Do you go on site to the businesses a lot, or do they mostly come to you guys?
I will do whatever a small business would rather do. I kind of prefer to meet on site just because I think it probably gives me a little bit more insight into what's going on in the business. There are things that you see and things that you notice that wouldn't be as obvious if somebody came to my office.
So you can kind of figure out, you can ask more questions when you're there because you kind of can point out different things. Now, one of the things, so when you're talking to somebody like JJ or somebody like that that's coming in and so do you help them when do they say I think I need more capital to do this, or do they come in and say I want to do this, I don't know how to do it?
It varies.
Sometimes
people come in with a very specific objective, like I need more capital so that I can buy more things for my business, more inventory, more space, hire more people, whatever. I'd say more often than not, people have some kind of a general yearning of some sort. They think that things just aren't adding up right, that things could be a little bit better. And so really frequently it just starts with kind of a benchmark test or an assessment. And we'll look at possibly financials. We'll look at HR policies. We'll look at business operations and possibly make some recommendations.
Now, one of the things, having been there, having been a business person for years, and then now going into working, you know, then you got your MBA, then you're working at a company that you liked, and then you go and start working at the business center. I mean, what are some of the things that you think that have you learned working here that you feel like you could have done differently in the past? I mean, is there some things that you've done that you're like saying, I wish I had known this?
That is a fabulous question. And I can think of one thing. I think that a lot of times small business people don't understand the value of of sales type relationships. Generally speaking, I think that it's easier for marketing to influence simple purchasing decisions. But when you're influencing really complex purchasing decisions, I think a lot of those conversations have to come one-on-one, and they're more sales-oriented conversations. Mm-hmm. I think that if I had it to do all over again, there were a couple of opportunities that I had early in my career to gain some really specific sales type of skills, mm-hmm. and to approach things from a more of a one-on-one sales perspective rather than a one-to-many marketing perspective.
Yeah, and one of the things, being a marketing person, marketing, I think, can, you know, it's to get people in the doors, mm-hmm. you know, to get people to there to be interested, to be aware, and get them in the doors. But the actual sales does have to come from, you know, your staff.
Absolutely. And I'll give you an example. If you're standing in the cereal aisle at the grocery store and you know you want to buy a box of cereal and you know you want to buy something that tastes great, well, Tony the Tiger has told you for years to buy Frosted Flakes.
Exactly.
It's not an expensive decision to make. And if you don't like them, you feed them to your dog and you try Fruit Loops next week. But if you're going to have your kitchen remodeled, and you're going to spend, I don't know, $50,000-$80,000 on a remodel, it's not the same type of decision.
No,
I think Tony the Tiger gets you to buy Frosted Flakes right away. But for a lot of small businesses, they're really trying to influence much more complicated purchases. And sometimes they don't realize that.
That makes sense. So they're just kind of like, well, we have this. People are going to understand
right.
it, kind of, as opposed to having people that really understand what can help explain the process and all the things that go into it.
Sure, like, absolutely.
Well, when you do, so when you're talking about, so the sales of, is that, so do you see this, your the center, your business, the mm-hmm. small development center, do you see it changing and growing over in the, how it's, is it changing and how it does business with, you know, with the different tools and stuff? How is it
sure.
changing?
We actually have added an awful lot of tools over mm-hmm. the years. One of my favorites is a tool called ESRI, E-S-R-I, Business Analyst. And it gives us the ability to do some pretty sophisticated GIS mapping and
okay.
also examination of customer behavior using BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics data. So it's easy for us now to take a look at, say, the restaurant industry in Lawrence and get a snapshot of what the total market looks like, what mm-hmm. how certain demographic groups are behaving, how certain geographic groups are behaving. And we think that's a really important addition that we've made for our clients. We have some other tools that we use. We have some fairly specialized services that come from the Lowe Foundation out of Littleton, Colorado, and
uh-huh.
they do some kind of small-scale but intensive contract consulting for us. I think they're similar, like, to the Kauffman Foundation,
okay.
but with a slightly different focus on mm-hmm. entrepreneurship. And we've done some contract work with them over the years that has been really helpful. As for the growth of our business, so to speak, mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult in an era of sequestration and a lot of state reductions in state revenues mm-hmm. to imagine that we're going to be funded significantly higher by those organizations, which is a shame because I think that the SBDCs provide an incredible economic return on investment. And if we had enough money for a third full-time counselor, I think that it would easily pay for itself. I just don't see that in the cards.
And one of the things, when you're, because you have enough people to, you have enough businesses coming in that you can
sure.
keep. Well, it sounds like if you're covering that large of an area, too, that's a lot of...
It is a challenge.
So when you say Franklin, so you're also covering Topeka?
Topeka's no, in Shawnee County.
Shawnee.
We cover Ottawa.
Ottawa, okay. Oh, that keeps you pretty busy.
Sure.
So one of the things, so when you're with your business and stuff like that growing, you know, whether it's going to grow or not, and dealing with budgets and stuff, is that something, are you guys... Do you think you're on the chopping block with the budgets, or you think that you're kind of in an area that's, because of the university, you're in a separate area, or you just don't know?
I'll tell you in 3 months.
I know.
I mean, I think that our economic, I think that our funding partners value the economic return on investment that they get. Last year, we helped about 50 people start businesses. Those businesses leveraged somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million in new capital. Wonderful. That's a lot of money for them to go out and borrow in a year. And again, with that capital comes opportunities. They tell us in the economic impact survey that we helped them create about 300 jobs last year. And those businesses generated about $10 million in new revenues between the existing businesses we worked with and the startups. And of course, that increases sales tax receipts, and a lot of good things happen in the economy when small businesses perform.
So that's, that creates, I don't think people always understand the snowball effect that all, when you have these businesses, how that money and bringing in the new money in the community and how the jobs and how that money works down the line.
And so you kind of have hit on an important distinction that I don't know that people talk about enough, which is the difference between primary employment and non-primary employment. And so when somebody creates a company that creates primary jobs, what that means is that there's no local competition other than workforce competition.
Okay.
For example, where I worked earlier in my career at E&E Display Group, we made point-of-purchase displays and store fixtures, and our biggest clients were Best Buy in Minneapolis. We worked with Verizon in Fort Worth, Radio Shack in Fort Worth. We worked with Hallmark Cards. So we brought $25, $30 million per year into the community, and we used a very large portion of that, more than $10 million, to pay employees of the company. And then they went out and spent money on food and restaurants and at grocery stores, and they bought clothing and they went to bars and movies and things like that. So that, you're right, that's a really critical piece of it.
So when you're saying, and that is, again, having gone through Leadership Lawrence last year, they talk a lot about the primary jobs and how they're important to bringing in, instead of moving the money around, you're bringing in new money because you're selling services outside and products outside your company.
Exactly
community.
Right. So if somebody opens a new restaurant, arguably they could be dividing up the pie just a little bit differently, excusing the pun. Whereas if somebody opens a factory that makes point of purchase displays, they're probably bringing new money into the community. Now, that being said, I think that every business and every job has its place in the economy, and I would not want anybody to think that it's not a valuable business if they wanted to open yet another new restaurant in Lawrence. There could be a lot of reasons for it, and in fact, speaking with some of the downtown restaurant operators, I think that they would tell you, hey, when we get a new restaurant downtown, it actually does make that pie bigger. And maybe it makes somebody that wasn't going to come over to Lawrence from Kansas City before the basketball game, maybe they come over early now and they grab dinner and they walk around downtown and they buy a T-shirt and they do some other things as well. So it's not that one type of business is more valued than the other.
Yeah, and also one of the things too, because obviously downtown is such a key economic center for this town because of its charm. Our downtown Lawrence is really a wonderful place, and the restaurants, and with between it and the university, with people we have are so lucky that we have such a draw for people to come into our community.
Oh yeah,
and hopefully they go downtown and go to our new restaurants that you help start, and
sure.
go to our new all the new businesses and buy lots of stuff.
Yes,
And, of course, the more we win, the better.
Right.
The winning basketball games is key. Well, I really want to thank you. This has been really interesting. And I want to know, to get the word out there, I mean, what do you guys do to help get the word out there in this short time? Obviously, coming on our radio show is great. But getting the word out there for people and businesses and to get in contact with you.
Probably not enough, but that is probably a function of the fact that we tend to stay fairly busy.
Right. Word of mouth, then?
Word of mouth, I think, is a lot of it. It's really gratifying over the years to see how many people call and say, hey, so-and-so thought that I should call you and talk to you, or this person said that you really helped them, and I've got a similar situation. The startup seminars, I think, are a pretty good funnel creator for us. Mm-hmm. People come in and they spend a couple hours learning about what we do and learning about small business in general. And a lot of times that leads to relationships for us.
Well, that's interesting. So how do they get in touch with you? The website? Do they go to the KU?
Yeah, probably the Facebook page.
Facebook page?
Sure.
You have a KU Small Business Development Center Facebook
page. You got it.
Okay.
Exactly.
So they can go there, then get information about you. We mm-hmm. will link to that on our Facebook
at
thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. This is hopefully if anybody's out there thinking about starting a new business, expanding their business, they will give Will and everybody there a call. Check them out on Facebook. Every Thursday morning, we're here at 9 a.m. having in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And thank you, Will. I think.
Thanks, Ann. I really appreciate what you do, and the magazine is great. I always look forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. We're very proud of it. We try to keep it relevant. So Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN, redefining the concept of business.
It is 10 o'clock right now at 1320 KLWN. Lawrence, have a Fox News.